for the Wildcats. Cameron, another look. Yes!
You're listening to Straight Outta Whack.
You call me Knox, but fail!
Bella Earl, that's where she's special, and one. Ruiz lays for Mike P. Oma!
Three for the lead! Got it! Lamar Wilkerson with 1.3 left to go!
Here's your host, Kyle McDonald.
What's up, everybody? Another episode of the Straight Out of the Whack podcast here on this Tuesday afternoon. It's a little cloudy. I believe it's supposed to storm here in the great state of Utah, which might affect some of my travel plans on Saturday, at least. We'll see. But today we're going to be talking some Abilene Christian Wildcats men's basketball. The Wildcats coming off a loss, home loss to Southern Utah on Saturday, 74-72. With me, as always, the voice of the Wildcats, Grant Boone. Grant, appreciate the time, as always. And, you know, kind of a weird situation. The Wildcats had a week off, and then they had to face Southern Utah. And can you tell us what you saw in that ballgame? I mean, we know Southern Utah can score, but what was the – it's one of those things, again, you can't take any nights off in the WAC this year.
There's no doubt about that. And Brett Tanner, AC head coach, talked about that after the game. I mean, sometimes you lose a game and you'll expect, you know, a coach to rattle off a laundry list of reasons why they lost. And effectively his message was, we played pretty darn well and we lost the game. And that's life in the WAC. May sound like an excuse. It's not. It's just someone is going to win every night in the WAC and someone's going to lose. And, you know, sometimes you're missing a good player. Sometimes you're not. You just got two teams that are, you know, loaded with good players and good coaches. And somebody's got to, you know, win and lose every night. I mean, Chris Jans is rolling at Mississippi State, right? And they go into play Tennessee. And Tennessee's ahead, I think, 20-2, you know. And then they win by 30 or whatever. That doesn't mean Mississippi State's not good. It's just... it's basketball. It's any given night. And in this case, you know, we had two different halves. It was ACU's game in the first half, 30-25. In the second half, Southern Utah did what they do best. They got to the free throw line. They put pressure on ACU. And Tevian Jones went off. He scored 20 of his 26 in the second half. And he's an elite scorer. He's a special player. And he was special that night.
You talked about that free throw line in the second half. 17 of 23 from the free throw line after the half, after the break. I mean, they made as many, almost as many free throws as ACU took the entire night. That's crazy to me. Like, what changed in the second half? Was it just Southern Utah got a little bit more aggressive because you know they can score? Or was it something that maybe ACU made a change and it didn't go the way that they were hoping to at the break?
It was Southern Utah being more aggressive. But it was also, you know, when a guy starts to go off, it puts you a little bit on your heels. And he got to the free throw line a bunch himself. And he, you know, and they've got some really good, they're not just him.
Right.
I mean, it's a really nice roster that they've got. And I think Todd Simon does a terrific job. And, you know, ACU is a team that fouls a lot. I mean, just they really are. Brett Tanner after the game said, we fouled. You know, he was not upset with the discrepancy. He may privately have been frustrated a little bit. There were a couple of, you know, there always are. Every game there are some calls that could go either way. But, I think the first half was about ACU asserting its will, and I think the second half was Southern Utah asserting its. And you say, well, what changed? Well, what changed is you had two pretty good, talented teams that are used to winning. Both programs are accustomed to winning. And, you know, they're fairly evenly matched. They're very different styles, but they're fairly evenly matched in their, you know, in their ability. And what happens when those two teams play? One kind of controls one half and one kind of controls another. And for anyone to think that ACU could assert its will with no resistance from Southern Utah for 40 minutes, just it's not going to happen. Southern Utah couldn't do it for 40 minutes. ACU controlled the first half. It was just a really good college basketball game that, as usual, has some ebbs and flows and came down to the final play. And ACU had a chance and turned the ball over in the final couple of seconds. A point guard who had played great all night. That was his only turnover of the game, Damian Daniels, and fifth-year senior. He's a superstar for ACU. He's going to be one of the great. He'll be in our Hall of Fame one day. He's won 105 games or something as an ACU Wildcat, and he was nearly flawless the entire night and came down to the final second. And credit Southern Utah. They made one or two more plays, and they deserve to win the game. It was a really good college basketball game. We say it every night on the radio. It's life in the WAC. And I imagine this week will be another, couple of good challenges for ACU and for every other team. I know UT Arlington's not playing its best right now, but you look at this kind of the overall strength of the program, and I just don't think there are very many nights off. I just don't think you feel like that you've got a couple of guineas in there.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I know
with
ACU doesn't feel that way. Maybe other teams do. I don't know.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, UT Arlington's close. Like, they had Southern or Stephen F. Austin on the ropes. They hung with Utah Valley most of the night till down the stretch. So, I mean, it's one of those things. You take a night off, you're going to get beat. Let's just be real about that. And, I mean, you talk about this game against Southern Utah. ACU shot over 55% from the field in the second half.
Yeah.
Southern Utah shot 60%. Biggest difference to me outside of the free throw shooting was the three-point shooting in the second half, where the T-Birds were 4 of 5 and ACU was 1 of 7. But, I mean, ACU had 6 guys in double figures. Like, it's not
right.
Like you said, it's just a really good college basketball game.
Yep.
That came down to one or two plays late in the ball game. I mean, that's what you want to see, is it not? I mean, Brett's still trying. I feel like Brett Tanner's still trying to figure – I don't want to say figure it out, but he's still trying to find those combinations of players on the floor. I mean, Ollie Dibbas started the last two ball games, first two starts he's had as a Wildcat.
Right.
So that just shows you that – Brett's still trying to kind of tinker a little bit with the roster. Does that seem logical to you, or like does that sound right?
I think you're right, but I think it speaks to who ACU is as a program. I looked this up the other day. In the years that Brett Tanner's been here, 8 years as the associate head coach, 2 years as the head coach, I think there's been 1 year in which a player has averaged more than 13 points a game. Jalen Franklin, who is going to go down as one of our two or three best players, if not the best player we've ever had, point guard from Arkansas, who was part of the transformational recruiting class that turned ACU from a doormat on both the Division II and Division I level into an NCAA tournament team back-to-back. Jalen Franklin averaged 16 or something points a game. I don't have it right in front of me, but this is not a team that routinely has a Tevian Jones, or a Darian Trammell, or, a guy that's going to go out and get you 20 a night. It's a team in which about 6 different guys could go for 15 on a given night, but no one's probably going for a whole lot more than that. I mean, we'll have, again, this is just off the top of my head, but I know it's somewhere in this range. We'll have 2 or 3 games a year in which a player scores 20 or more. One play, not the same player. We'll have 2 or 3 games combined in which a player scores 20 or more. Last year, Arion Simmons had 31 against UTRGV at home. But you'll get a Corion Mason last year going for, every now and then go for 20. It just doesn't happen. It's not this, we spread the ball around. We play 9, 10 sometimes 11 guys. It's just not who we are. And so to say that Brad is still tinkering, I think he'll always tinker. I mean, Damian Daniels hasn't changed. He's the point guard. Manuel Allen, he's not coming out. But then with the other guys, yeah, he'll, it's not that he is always tinkering. I mean, my point is, if you solidify yourself, Reggie Miller started every game last year.
Right.
Arian Simmons started every game last year. But this year with some new roles and some new bodies and some people coming back, I think he will. I think he'll always be looking for ways to, you know, try to. And I don't think that makes him unique. I think that's pretty much every coach. I would be curious to see, you know, how many teams start the same five, let's say for 25 nights a year. You throw injuries in there. You get some inconsistencies. Be an interesting thing to look up. I don't know off the top of my head what that would be, but how many teams start the same starting five 25 times out of 30 in a season? It's probably not that many.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'm looking at the stats right now, and nobody on ACU's team averages more than 26 minutes per game.
Yeah.
You've got... Let's see, 9 guys that are averaging at least 15 minutes per game.
Yeah.
And you've got 9 guys that are averaging 6.5 points or more, yeah. And only 2 of those players, and Manny Allen and Tobias Cameron, are in double figures. So, I mean, you're absolutely right that they spread it around. It's not the same guy going off night after night, and... Do you ever think that I want to say this as nicely as possible. Do you ever think that that's somewhat of a, it could be a detriment at times to not have that maybe Tevian Jones type where you can put it in the hands of a guy that's going to go get you a bucket or get to the free throw line late in a ball game or something like, or is it just maybe Brett Tanner trusts any of the guys he has that he can put the ball in their hands at any given moment and they can do that late in a ball game?
I think just about anybody would love to have a guy, you know, in whose hands you could put the ball at the end of a game. Jalen Franklin was that guy for us for 4 years, and he was not an elite outside shooter, but he could get to the rim. He was almost unstoppable getting to the rim, or he'd pull up for a 10-footer, a little floater, and he was really good at that. We've had that in the past at times, and would you like to have that? I think almost anyone would love to have that. What I do think happens in most games, I think it's actually been part of the secret sauce that now we'll go ahead and say it out there on the podcast, but we'll give you some of the ingredients. I think one of the ingredients to AC's success is it's a difficult team. It at times can be a difficult team to stop because who do we key on? Well, how about let's key on Emmanuel Allen? Okay, well, Cam Steele just went for 15. He's a 6'8", you know, 4'5" man who can step out and make threes. We got to stop Arian Simmons. Okay, well, you know, here comes Damian Daniels with 15 tonight. Well, he only scored 2 last game. How we could expect that? You know, you don't know where it's coming. Tobias Cameron might have 6 one game. He might have, you know, he had 6 threes the other game or 5 threes the other game. It can work both ways. You'd love to have somebody to give the ball to and say, get out of the way. But on the other hand, you know, you've got, I think when you have 3 or 4 good options, how do you guard that?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, I think about, and I know we're talking ACU here, but I think about a Utah Valley right now that teams will, you know, obviously Trey Woodbury and Justin Harmon are going to be the feature on their defensive scout.
Yep.
But you've also got a Latre Darthart who's gone for 15 to 19 points every now and again when teams are trying to take out the other two, or Taj Small that comes off the bench, or, you know, and I think that's a big thing is you got, you know, seeing Ali Dibba start the last couple of games and Tobias Cameron and Cam Steele coming off the bench, like, I think Brett sees something there that he knows he's got to have guys that can come in or guys that can start off strong and then have guys come off the bench that can give that, maybe push the Wildcats a little over the top, offensively especially. So, yeah, it's interesting to see that that depth is going to play. I think that depth is going to play quite a bit down the road as we get further into WAC play.
I think it could, you know, and I think you you look at that whole scenario and say, oh, who's starting? And I think we focus on that a lot. But, you know, an equally important question is who's finishing? Yeah. And Tobias Cameron is almost always in there at the end of a game. Arion Simmons is often in there at the end of a game. Both those guys have started a ton in their ACU career. So it's not always just who's starting. It's matchups. It's who's coming. You know, who brings you energy? Tobias is an annoying player to play against, and I mean that. And there couldn't be a higher compliment. He just is all up in your grill, and he's taking charges. He's knocking the ball away. Just let me throw it to this guy on the wing. I mean, that pass goes uncontested 99 out of 100 times, and here's Tobias diving for one. And you know, it's energy. It's timing, but. I think we sometimes, you know, get hung up on who's starting. It's a luxury, I think, ultimately, to have, you know, 9 or 10 guys you can trust. Would you love to have one at the end of a game you give it to? I think you, as I said before, I think you would. But then again, you also sometimes make it easier for, you know, a defense to key on one particular guy. End of the day, Southern Utah wasn't just Tevian Jones. Yeah. Mason Fawcett played, you know, great at the end of the game. They got some big buckets from, you know, Harrison Butler was terrific, and they got buckets when they needed to get them, and they got free throws when they had to get it, and Spurgeon was good, and they're a really good team, and yet 2 days before they lost to Tarleton State, yep. You know, and Tevian Jones had 9, his only game he had in single digits scoring this year. So, I didn't hear Todd Simon after the game. I would imagine he would be nodding a little bit with what we're talking about right here. Okay. We went on the road. We lost to Tarleton. We beat Abilene Christian. My guess is at least on some level, he'd be saying, that's not bad. We went 1-1. I mean, you know, yep. we stole one on the road, and that's what AC's going to be trying to do this week.
Yeah, let's talk about this Wednesday. It's crazy. It's a Wednesday game. It's interesting, but the last time that the Wildcats were in Edinburgh, it was quite the finish. I don't even know what the word to describe it is. I mean, we could say wild. We could say crazy. I mean, ACU was down by 12 points with a minute 59 left.
Yeah.
I think UTRGV was close to getting into its, like, managers to step on the floor because there was so much foul trouble.
Yeah.
And somehow, courtesy of a couple of Arion Simmons three-pointers, ACU found a way to win that ball game, like,
in regulation.
Yeah, like 87-85 was the final. Just a wild finish. Like, and this year might be even better because UTRGV is a little bit better this year. They're banged up. Not sure if Will Johnston or Adonte Holloman, their point guards, will play this week. But, I mean, take us through the emotions of that ball game. You were calling it, so take us through the emotions of that ball game.
Well, you know, sometimes you'll see this, like in football. It's a final drive of a game. And you'll say sometimes, just get me that first down. You know, it's like we got to go 85 yards, but something about that first down does something mentally. Like, okay, here we go. We're off. Let's go. We can do this. And I think when you see a three go in, you're like, it's not like, hey, we're about to win. It just means, okay, all right. If that three misses, they get the rebound, you foul them, now it's 14, and it's a minute 48. You know, it's like, okay, well, that one's gone. But then that goes in. You just need a little bit of a scent, you know, just to make yourself think that you're still in this thing. And then what happens? The other team starts to think, we thought we had this one, they're still in it. When you try to play it back, you can't figure out how it happens. And then you wonder, okay, why did that happen more? Well, it is a weird phenomenon. Runs of any kind, I think, in any sport, including, you know, golf or tennis or any sport, how does a run happen? How does that kind of little spurt, where does it come from? It almost seems to have a life of its own at times. And that one did that night. And then a couple of days later, they go down to Lamar. They seemingly have the game in control. Then Lamar comes storming back. Lamar takes the lead. Lamar's got a 5-point lead late. And ACU gets, you know, takes a charge. And you know, a couple of technical fouls later on Lamar bench, and they pulled another one out of their hat. And then I think teams start thinking, we're never out of it. You know, I mean, ACU was down 18 to Bakersfield, and they come roaring back in the second half with 19 minutes to go. They're down by 18. They come back and win it in regulation. You know, a few nights later, the conference opener against Stephen F. Austin, they're down 18. You know, toward the end of the first half, to go on a 15-0 run, and next thing you know, it's down to the wire in Nacogdoches. That time, Stephen F. pulled it out. Brett Tanner actually said, it's probably a good thing for our team that we didn't just think that, you know, we can just always come back from 18 down. Then they come out, and they play Tarleton and control the game and really, you know, from the beginning. And it's one of those things you look back and you say, it was the perfect storm. And these things, it's why it doesn't happen very often. But, you know, you need a three to drop. You need a turnover. You need a missed free throw. But it's one of those you'll never forget.
Yeah. And, you know, I think like I said, I think it's going to be just as good of a ball game tomorrow night, Wednesday night, down there in Edinburgh at UTRGV Fieldhouse. Like I said, the Vaqueros, they're desperate for a win, their own 4-1 WAC play. They got beat this week twice by Seattle and Utah Valley there at UTRGV Fieldhouse. ACU looking to get back in the win column in WAC play as they head to South Texas. So give us your thoughts on the game tomorrow night, what you're looking at maybe as a game changer or something that could really dictate the game. I know we always talk about, you know, rebounding or free throw shooting, or, you know, we know both teams are going to score probably quite a bit because both teams like to score. Is there something that kind of you're looking at to see could be the difference tomorrow night?
You know, for me, I think one thing that was that it didn't make Brett Tanner feel any better about the loss, but it did give him encouragement big picture. ACU against Southern Utah, I think they turned them over 21 times, if I'm not mistaken.
21 times, yep.
Yeah, forced 21 turnovers, and that's who ACU is. 20 and 12 have always been Brett's numbers. We want to force at least 20. We want to limit ours to 12. I think we wound up with 15 on
Saturday. Nine turnovers in that ball game for the Wildcats.
We only had nine. Yep. Okay. We had three in the first. It felt like 15 because we had three in the first half and we had six in the second, and they happened kind of, you know, consecutively. We had twice as many, but it really, nine's incredible. And I think that's one of the reasons he was just like, you know, what do you say other than tip your cap to Southern Utah? Because when you out, you know, when you win the turnover battle by 12 and points off turnovers by, I think it was eight, you know, plus eight, you know, you just say, well, it was, they made more, you know, they got to the free throw line more. and they got it done there. But to me, that's what I want to see. You know, that's one of the things I'll be watching. Can you ACU early in the season was turning it over a lot. They were still forcing a lot of turnovers, but ACU themselves were turning it over quite a bit. I think, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast before, and I know you've spoken about it on other podcasts, but, you know, ACU the last 2 years has led the nation in turnover margin and turnovers forced. And this year, they're top 10 in turnovers forced. The turnover margin, you know, they've dipped considerably. And that's a concern. And really that's less about UTRGV than it is about, than ACU. But I think for me, that's what I'm going to be paying the closest attention to. Can ACU do what that's their calling card? Can they do that? And then for me, it's about, avoiding a second straight loss. I mean, you're never going to be in a slump if you never lose back to back. I mean, you may not go on a big roll, and I don't think I guess you could have a 500 season, couldn't you? If you could never lose twice, but still only have a 500 year if you win one, lose one the entire year. But ACU 1-2, think about that now. ACU has already had the 1 week off, the one game night off. They didn't play midweek last week. And so they lose to Stephen F. on the road. They beat Tarleton at home. They had a week off. They lose to Southern Utah. 1-2 is not, you know, ideal, but neither is 0-4.
Right.
1-3, you know. By the way, 1-3 with a stretch coming up that's going to include, you know, a trip to Seattle, a trip to Cal Baptist, you got Grand Canyon, you got, New Mexico State twice. You're going to end the year, ACU ends the year with two games against Sam Houston State in the last six. Again, there's no easy night in the WAC, but there are some nights that do seem a little harder than others. So, I think you look so far through three WAC games, ACU, went on the road and played Stephen F. down to the wire, lost it, won a home game against Tarleton, lost a coin flip game. And you look at ACU's games, what they lost, what they lose by.
They lost by 7 to Stephen F., and they lost by 2 to Southern Utah.
I was just saying it was 7 to Stephen F., but it was literally down to the final minute.
Right.
Could have gone either way. There was a one possession game with a minute to go, basically. And then you win by 6 against Tarleton, and then you lose a coin flip game to Southern Utah. I don't think ACU is the kind of team that they've had this in the past where they, in the Southland Conference, where they, were averaging 20 point wins, on the last couple of years, especially at home, they were winning by 20. They won three or four conference games by 30 plus. Those days are over. This is the WAC, and Brett Tanner thinks the WAC has done enough to kind of even push ahead of mid major status. He thinks they're somewhere in between, mid major and high major.
Right.
Which is an interesting thought, but it's depth of league. Most coaches will say that about every league, but I think the numbers are there in the WAC to suggest that that's true this year, at least.
Absolutely. So let's look at this here. So they get UTRGV and Tarleton both on the road this week.
Yeah.
Then next Wednesday, they are at Utah Valley in Orem.
Yeah.
Where they won last year. Then they host UT Arlington on January 21st. Then from the end of January to the end of the regular season is brutal. And
it's brutal. It's like I say, there are no easy nights, but there are some nights that are harder than others.
And, yeah, I mean, ahead.
I was just saying, Tarleton State. Look what Tarleton State has done. I mean, they've got a pretty good body of work, and I would call it an exceptional body of work for a third-year Division I program.
Yep.
And probably they don't even get as noticed as much because there are some games against some elite teams like, you know, KU, in recent years that they didn't finish off, but that were in which they played great. You know, this is a really good, this is a very impressive third year program. Well, ACU's, you know, they get them twice in the first five games. And ACU's has taken care of business against Tarleton, in the last two plus seasons since they went Division One. But, you know, at some point they're going to pop you like they've popped just about everybody, and they're not easy, but, they would still, as much respect as I have for the program they've got there, that goes back great years in NAIA in Division II, but now they're D1, as impressive as they are, they still would be considered bottom half of the league, just statistically, you know, just looking at the numbers. And if you're an ACU fan, you're saying, we've gone 1-2. Now, you did lose to Stephen F., and they're leading the league at 4-0, right?
Right.
And Southern Utah, everyone's figuring out, you know, how good they are, and realizing how good they are. We'll see. I mean, they're 3-1.
Yes, 3-1. Yep.
Yeah. They're 3-1 in the league. ACU's played two teams that are in the top. Stephen F. and Seattle are the only unbeatens, right?
Stephen F. Utah Valley and
Utah Valley.
Seattle. Yeah, they're all. Utah Valley and Stephen F. are 4-0, and Seattle's 3-0.
Seattle's 3-0. Yeah. You got three unbeaten teams and some one loss teams, and ACU's lost to an unbeaten and a one loss team. All right. And then they beat Tarleton, who got a win over Southern Utah 2 days before.
Yep.
And yet then you look at it, and you can rattle it off. We just talked about it. Seattle, Cal Baptist, Mexico State. Grand Canyon, you know, then you get Sam Houston rolling in, and it's one after another in Utah, you know, Utah Valley a week from tomorrow. It's going to be really tough. And I think this is where an ACU fan is going to say, we're going to trust, you know, Joe Golding and Brett Tanner talk about trusting the process. That's a good coach's term, but it's been something they've been saying for years and years. And that's why I say, if you're an ACU fan, you know, where do the wins come from? Well, you rely on strength of program, and you say, we may not stack up individually as talented as every team in this league, but you combine it all together and you've got 105 or 106 wins over the last four seasons. And that tells you that it's not about one guy. It's not about, always looking pretty. It's finding a way to win. And, and they're going to have to do that. I think they'll be tested this year more than they've been tested at any time, since they began to turn things around 7 years ago.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, from January 26th on, you get Grand Canyon twice, Sam Houston twice, New Mexico State twice.
Just quick words. Sam Houston State, though they've not been to the tournament since about a dozen years ago, right the year before Jason Hooten took over as head coach, they're a perennial, 20-plus win team. And they're the one team that ACU has really struggled to beat. I mean, ACU's had – couple of wins over Sam Houston State, but Sam swept ACU last year, and they're tough minded. The teams know each other from all these years in the Southland Conference together. It's not just that. Well, look at Sam having a good year with wins over Power Five teams. The teams know each other really well.
Yeah.
You got super talented teams plus talented teams who know you, and that's going to make it tough. But yeah, it's a murderer's row.
Yeah, and even though
teams that have to play ACU, it's not like that's a bargain either.
Right.
I
mean, right.
That's kind of what we're talking about, just up and down the line. It's going to be hard.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter who you're playing this year in the WAC. It's a deep league. There's a lot of talent there. And like we said, you can't take any night off. Wildcats looking to get another win down there at UTRG Fieldhouse Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. Central, ESPN Plus. Grant Boone, the voice of the Wildcats. Appreciate the time. Follow him at Grant Boone ACU on Twitter. And unfortunately, I won't see you when I am down there on the 21st for that doubleheader. Will you be in Orem on the 18th next Wednesday?
No, unfortunately, my other duty calls, working for Golf Channel. The LPGA season begins next week, so I'll be in Orlando, Florida, at Lake Nona, broadcasting the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions LPGA event. And but then I'll be back at it and raring to go for that following week.
Nice. So unfortunately, we won't see Grant until most likely WAC Vegas. So that's coming up in a month and a half. Pretty crazy that I should say about 2 months away. We're almost there. But yeah, enjoy the trip to South Texas, like you were talking about. It's about as far south as you can get in the state of Texas. And we'll see if it's going to be another wild finish at UTRGV Fieldhouse on Wednesday night.
I wouldn't argue with a nice, comfortable 14-point win, but I think Brett Tanner would take, by one or more. I think he'd be happy. But always good to talk to you, Kyle.
Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to the Straight Outta WAC podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcasting platforms. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Remember to follow us on Twitter at WAC Hoops Digest and Facebook under WAC Hoops Digest for all your WAC Hoops news and information.